The holy sacrifice of the Mass, what we are gathered here this morning doing, participating in, is the greatest act of worship that we human beings can make to God. There is nothing greater than the Mass this side of heaven. As a matter of fact, in the Mass, heaven touches earth, and we are lifted up into heavenly glory. We join the angels and the saints who worship God continually in heaven. We're in the presence of our loved ones who have gone before us in faith, and we participate, if but for a very small time, in that hymn which is sung around the throne of God that we hear in the book of Revelation, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." But do we really understand what is going on at Mass? Do we really understand what we are participating in? And I don't really mean the particularities of the Mass, like when we sit or stand, or the colors of the vestments and things along those lines. What I mean by that question is, do we realize that the Mass is an encounter with the risen Jesus? That just as the disciples on the road to Emmaus that we heard in the gospel today were accompanied by the Lord Jesus, so he does the same for us as disciples in the Mass. And I'd like us to take a look at this story of the road to Emmaus through this lens and see what it's teaching us about how Jesus accompanies us in the Mass. Notice as the story opens up, the two disciples, we're told, are walking away from Jerusalem. It's a significant detail because everything in the Gospel of St. Luke is oriented toward Jerusalem. Jesus, through his entire teaching and preaching ministry, is heading toward the holy city. And of course, we know that it's there that the Lord is crucified, that he's raised up in glory. And it's also there, of course, that he rises from the dead. So everything is centered on Jerusalem. But these two disciples are walking in the wrong direction. They're walking away from the action, so to speak. They're walking away because they have had their hopes dashed. They're disappointed. They're disillusioned. They're downcast. We hear it in how they talk about the experience of the last few days. They thought that Jesus was the Messiah, but see all of this happen to him. Each of us comes to Mass with our own disappointments and burdens and challenges. We come with our hopes, with our prayers, with our dreams. Perhaps some of us have been moving in the wrong direction, and we're here to come get back moving in the right direction. Pope Benedict XVI was commenting on this particular passage, and he said that the disciples of Emmaus appear like a reflection of Christians today. It seems that the hope of faith has failed, he said. Faith itself enters a crisis because of negative experiences that make us feel abandoned and betrayed, even by the Lord. Maybe that's how you feel this morning, or how you know what it's like to be there and feel that way at Mass. I think it's very interesting when people say that the Mass is boring because it's always the same. Well, that's actually not true. There are parts of the Mass that change every day, while the overall structure, yes, does stay the same. But what changes every single time is us. Every time we come through the doors of this church, we're different people. We may be older. We may have had different experiences. We may have experienced tragedy. And we come through the doors of the church. And like those disciples, we're looking for something. And so we come to the Mass, we come to the first part of the Mass, which is known as the penitential act, where we tell God that we're sorry for the things that we've done wrong. We recognize that this is an act of worship and that we are coming, going to be drawn up to Him, and Jesus is going to come next to us. And we have to recognize that we're not worthy of that. And then the penitential act leads us into the part of the Mass that we're in right now, the liturgy of the word. In the story of Emmaus, we heard that Jesus, beginning with Moses and the prophets, interpreted to them what referred to him in all of the scriptures. That was the liturgy of the word, exactly what happens at Mass. Jesus first accompanies us, draws close to us in the scriptures that we hear proclaimed. The great stories of the Old Testament, the letters of St. Paul and the other apostles, and the Gospels. All of the scriptures refer to Jesus. The Old Testament prepared for him, the New Testament makes him known. We stand when the gospel is read because it is the story of the life and ministry of Jesus. And this telling of these stories, this reading of scripture isn't like reading from a history textbook, because the word of God is living and effective. The Holy Spirit gives life to the word, to words that were written thousands of years ago. And that is how Jesus is made present to us in the liturgy of the word. And then the homily that the priest or deacon gives is meant to explain the scriptures, to help explain what they mean to our lives today. Notice how Jesus did it. He went through all of the Old Testament, explaining to them how it referred to him, then helping them to understand why the Messiah had to be crucified, and why their expectations about the Messiah had missed the mark. Boy, would I have loved to have attended that Bible study that Jesus gave. It must have been amazing. And certainly the Lord Jesus did a much better job of explaining the scriptures than I'm doing right now. But that's the point of the homily, to try to help us understand how God is speaking to us and how Jesus accompanies us in the scriptures. Then as the story moves along, the disciples approach their destination, Emmaus. And this stranger, Jesus, indicates that he's going on, but they say, no, please stay with us. And so he does. And in that moment, when they sit down at the table, this stranger did what Jesus did at the Last Supper. He takes bread, he says the blessing, he breaks it, and he gives it to them. And in that moment, in that action, their eyes are opened, and they see that it was Jesus, and he vanishes from their sight. So the Mass moves us from the liturgy of the Word to the liturgy of the Eucharist. Just as the Lord did at the Last Supper and at Emmaus, we take the bread, we say the blessing over it, we break it, and we distribute it. And just like at the Last Supper and at Emmaus, it's no longer bread. It has been transformed into the body and blood of Jesus. And Jesus disappears from their physical sight because he's now there in that bread. He's there in the bread of the Eucharist. And Jesus is present with us in the bread that is broken on this altar. Yes, he's with us in the liturgy of the word. He accompanies us in that part of Mass. But he's physically present in the consecrated bread, which has become his body. His presence is so real that we really can't refer to it as bread and wine anymore, because it no longer is. It is his body and his blood. Jesus knows that we as human beings need real concrete signs that he's with us. We live in a physical world. Everything we deal with is physical. So that's why he gives us the sacrament of his body and blood. We can point to that bread and wine that has been consecrated and say, yes, that is Jesus, because he promised to be there in the sacrament. We can point to the tabernacle and say, there he is, because he's there in the reserved Eucharist. And we can point to him in Eucharistic adoration and look at the monstrance and say, there's the Lord with us always. Each of us, we come to every Mass with all of our baggage, our wounds, the things that we carry with us. And Jesus comes alongside of us. He comes alongside of us, and that is made the clearest in the Eucharist, in his body and blood in Holy Communion. And then the disciples realize that their hearts are on fire. They were beginning to burn in the liturgy of the Word, and then they catch on fire in the liturgy of the Eucharist because they know that it's the Lord who's with them. And notice what they do. They don't tuck themselves in for the night. They get up and they go. It's been a long journey. It's been a long day. The road is dangerous at nighttime. But they can't help themselves because their hearts are on fire. And instead of now moving in the wrong direction, they go back to Jerusalem. They go back to tell the other apostles and disciples that they have indeed seen the Lord, how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. And so the Mass concludes with an instruction from the priest or the deacon that the Mass is ended and now go forth. We come to this church to be accompanied by Jesus, but then to go out the doors of the church, to bring him into the world, to share what we've received here, that the Lord has come among us and he sends us out to proclaim the good news. We are sent forth from the Mass, and we should be sent forth with hearts on fire, just like those disciples at Emmaus. So much so that we just can't wait. We can't help it but to go out and to share the message of Jesus. So, my friends, the Mass is indeed the greatest act of worship that we human beings can give to our Creator. But it is also the greatest and best example of how Jesus accompanies each and every one of us on our own Emmaus road.